May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was hanging out this morning in prayer in the Song of Solomon, which I've done a lot over the decades. And there was just something I noticed that I had never really noticed before. I don't know why I decided to look this word up, but I did. And I discovered it's really cool, something cool about it. 9 different times in the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom Christ references the Shulamite as his darling. And so I looked up the word for whatever reason. I don't remember why I did that again, but I looked up the word and discovered that the word, the Hebrew word actually that's translated in the New American Standard, darling, is actually the word companion. And it just ministered to me so much that Jesus sees me as companion. You know, when Olivia and I first met each other, we cultivated companionship. And the thing that I appreciated was that God cultivated this friendship thing where we just like to spend together, time together, and just talk. And so this whole companionship began to cultivate. And I really do believe that in marriages, the thing that's of most value, if you would ask most people, what is it that you value the most about just being married? And most people would say companionship. So I looked up the word companion, companionship in the dictionary, and it carries the idea of someone you spend a lot of time with because you want to, and you really enjoy them. And it just blew my mind to think that Jesus sees me as his companion, not just as his responsibility. Because often we think of ourselves that Jesus would think of us as his responsibility, and not necessarily a fun one sometimes. But the truth is that Jesus sees us. And I asked the Lord, because I don't know if I have spiritual words to go with spiritual thoughts, for me to communicate what the impact this had on me. So I pray and trust that he will. Because there's something powerful about that word. It's so personal. It's so accepting. It so has such valuing to it. I'm grateful. I remember when Olivia went to be with the Lord, within a few weeks, I was told that my dog Henry, who I've had for 13 and a half years, who I have a legendary relationship with, they told me he was going to die in a few weeks. And I just cried for 2 days, because one of the things I was grateful for was that with Olivia being gone, at least I still had Henry as a companion. I know that the kids used to laugh years ago that they were going to have to do some kind of intervention with me about Henry, because they just felt like I was too attached to Henry. And it's probably true. He's really the only one I have in my will. And Henry sleeps in the bed with me. Henry, everywhere I go, Henry goes. And so a companion in the dictionary would say someone who's with you a lot, who's different than just everybody, and that you really, again, enjoy and want to be with them. And the idea in the Song of Solomon is the Shulamite became a constant companion. You know, there's the daughters of Jerusalem in the Song of Solomon, which just represents believers in general. But the Shulamite is one who chose in a unique way to pursue her union with Christ, to make the great priority of her life his presence and her being conformed into his image. She didn't want to just do the, quote, normal thing. She wanted to live the life of his companion. Let me just read a few of the verses and use the word companion. It's pretty powerful. This is in verse 9. I won't tell you all the verses. We'll be here forever. To me, my companion. But it goes on and says some stuff. In verse 15 of chapter 1, I guess I am going to do that after all. How beautiful you are, my companion. How beautiful you are. In chapter 2, verse 10, my beloved responded to me and said, arise, my companion, my beautiful one, and come along. Verse 13, arise, my companion and beautiful one, and come along. So think about this, is that the Song of Solomon starts with this Shulamite saying, take me away with you, Lord, and let's run. I want to go to the place that you purchased for me. I want to go as far as I can go. There's like this wistfully longing for the heights. I want to go there with you. I don't want to stay in this place. I want to run with you to this place that you want me to be in you, this thing that you, I want to experience your dream for me and us. And so this is kind of like an answer when the bridegroom Christ comes and says, come away with me. Rise up and come away with me, my companion. You see, I know this is a terrible analogy, the Henry, but if I get up and move, Henry goes with me. And if I get up and move and he doesn't go with me, it's because he's gotten old enough he didn't notice I moved. So I'll just stop and say, come on, Henry, because he's my companion. This is so personal and so sweet to me that Jesus says, rise, my companion, and come away with me. You are altogether beautiful, my companion. How beautiful you are, my companion. It's like he values that term. But this is maybe my favorite. I was asleep, she said. My heart was awake. A voice, my beloved, was knocking. Open to me, my sister and my companion. There are several times, I think there's like four different times in the Song of Solomon, that the Holy Spirit uses the term of Christ speaking to the Shulamite, to the believer who's living the set-apart life, my sister bride. And then one time it says, my sister companion. And the reason the Holy Spirit uses that term sister is to remind us that Christ, our bridegroom Christ, though fully God, is forever now also fully human. And that he relates to and loves us in our humanity as his bride. Is Henry perfect? I guess he's not. But he is to me, because he's my constant companion. Nobody celebrates me like Henry does. Amir used to make fun of the fact of how if I'm gone somewhere for any length of time, even for the day when I go back home, if I'll go back and lay down, Henry jumps on my chest and wants to sit there for a while. He's my companion. And so for me, he's perfect. I couldn't pick a more perfect companion as a dog. I was thinking about that partly because I was reading something from Rosemary on Facebook about her dog that she had for years and years died in the fall. And you guys have known, others have known this experience, but she was looking forward finally now to getting another companion. But multiply that infinite in how Christ sees us as his companion, and he says, and I know your humanity, but I relate to you, and because I'm also fully, not sinful human, but I relate to your humanity, and I love you in your humanity as my bride. And you, as if you were the only one, are my companion. And that's part of the title he gives us. It's part of our identity. So I pray that God ministers that to you as to how much he values you, how sweetly he thinks about you, how much he enjoys you in your humanity. He doesn't wait for you to get mature or to become perfect to enjoy you. You're his companion. He enjoys you on the journey. Do we learn and change and grow? And are we transformed over time? Yes. But he values us as his companion. Did it minister to you that Jesus likes having a companion, that he enjoys, and you are the one he picked, and you said yes to it, and he enjoys you just right where you are? Doesn't mean he doesn't want you to transform. Be transformed, be your companion. And it says in chapter 2, your voice to him is sweet, and your presence to him is lovely, because you're his companion. Jesus wanted a companion, and you're it. You're not his responsibility. You're his companion. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.